about to F them up, y'all.
You tired of working for the man and ready to take a stand. F them. F them. You got passions and dreams and ready to do your thing. F them. Yep, yep. F them. You want to make an impact and get that check. F them. What?
Philly, so.
Yes, represent. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. So we have a few shout outs real quick. You know, we want to announce the winner to our 1-4 night Las Vegas trip giveaway that we were doing. It is sponsored by Rock World Travel and sponsored by iBoomerang.
Shout out to Rock.
Yep. Shout out to Dot Dot. So the winner is, can we get a little drum roll? My girl, Tamara Lee.
Congrats.
Tamara Lee, I appreciate the love. You came and commented on our YouTube and showed us love. Give us great feedback. Let us know that how we're doing and things to get better. So thank you so much.
Yes.
We will be contacting you about the trip giveaway. And yeah, girl, appreciate the love.
Congrats.
So we also have a special shout out to San Diego Black Professionals.
Yes. This past Thursday, we just hosted an awesome event with them called Securing the Bag, the financials behind starting your own business. We came, we saw, we talked, we laughed, we learned.
Yes.
Shout out to Dree.
Yes,
Jasmine,
and also my guy that was there, Saul. He just came through. He's helping getting SDBP back up and kind of in a relaunch phase.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, shout out to Saul.
Everybody's moving and grooving right now, so it was awesome to work with them. Shout out to San Diego Black Professionals.
That's what's up.
Follow San Diego Black Professionals on Facebook and at SD Black Professionals, I believe, on IG.
Yep.
But definitely follow the group on Facebook. You're new to San Diego. They're good with connecting you with everything that's going on, from parties to, like you said, financial events, business events.
Babysitters.
Babysitters,
they're
a phenomenal resource.
Definitely use them for babysitters.
Yes. And they're, if you're looking to find all of the activities in one space, check out their meetup group. San Diego Black Professionals meetup has everything on there. And in fact, in about 30 minutes, there's a brunch going on today that's hosted by them and San Diego Melanin. That's going to be popping. So check out their meetup group
brunch
for all of the events, church events, brunch events, anything in between. They got
job related, you're looking for a job.
Fitness.
Fitness. Oh, they have fitness stuff on there too. Very true.
Yes. So now it's time to get into our live five.
Yes. So your live five, for those of y'all that are just joining us, you know, this is the 5 minutes when you first get to work. You put all your stuff down, but you don't start working right away. You might scroll Twitter a little bit. You might text somebody and be like, what y'all doing today, you know? So that's our live five. So for today's live five, what we normally do, we come in, we chat about recent events, which we just told y'all about, securing the bag. We also had a chance to follow up with the Nesby entrepreneurial arm recently
at one of their mixers.
Yeah, shout out to Jade. All of y'all are really making moves, and we're just excited to be out here supporting the community. So shout out to them. We got an upcoming event, and we'll let Omar talk about that a little
bit. So excited about this event.
What's going on?
But yes, if you nice in 2K or you think you nice in 2K, regardless, pull up. You can find us on Eventbrite, 2K tournament. Just search that in San Diego. Pull up, it's going to be dope. King Chris says she's the.
I'm the coldest shooter and defender in San Diego. If you want this work, come out October 26th. I'd love to see you. I'd love to beat you. Really.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
See, I retired the sticks in 12. I got too busy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm never too busy.
For that and Madden, I miss it, though.
Yeah. Hey, well, come on. I'd love to beat you.
Oh, you probably wouldn't give me that work.
You got to come out of retirement. Hey,
2K12.
You got to come out of retirement for this one. Okay?
I'm going to need. Give me a week.
Okay. All right. You got two.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, we're having this event going on. October 26th, down in Imperial Beach. Great location. Black-owned business.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Come out. Check us out.
Shout out to the Sixers. You know what I mean? 76ers all day. Philly.
It is what it is. I don't have that much time to get into this right now. But you know what? Catch me outside. Okay. But this is actually a good segue into our Black Twitter topics that I like to go over with all of y'all. So Let's start with a shout out to Black Excellence. Yes. First and foremost. So I want to talk about Simone Biles. Mm, yes. 22 years old. Killing just won her 22nd world medal. And she also just won her 5th world title.
Black Excellence.
So, wow. Black Excellence. Yes. She's got a medal for every year that she has been on this earth. Mm. Okay. And she is 4'8".
Greatness.
And she's doing it all in a little package, but a big goal. Mm-hmm. Like, she's doing it all. So shout out to her. Super, super proud of her. We got to give shout out to Black Excellence when it happens, right? Mm-hmm. Black Girl Magic. Shout out to this young baby. She makes me feel so old, too. Oof. Anyway, but going back to basketball, let's get to this, because I want to hear Mr. Omar's thoughts about this tour. I know you know enough to need to chip in on this, too. My guy, Shannon Sharpe, not a basketball player. Let's put that out there first.
Is this the one that always had, like, the cigar, the black?
Oh, yeah, black and mild.
Always, anything is possible, Shannon. Yeah, so he was out here, right? He was on his show. He hosts a show called Undisputed with Skip Bayless. Mm-hmm. If you know who Skip is, please look him up. He is a mess and an old
He's
old
a Cowgirls man. Fan, so I don't rock with him.
Yeah, I don't rock with Skip at all. But he recently named himself Drip Bayless. And I had to say it was funny.
He did not.
Drip Bayless. He said that's what the kids call me. We were like, it's not.
No,
it's not.
Not
but
call you that.
Live your life, Skip Drip. All right. Skip, dip. So Shannon came out the other day and said Kawhi Leonard's not even close to being the best player in the world. An off year for LeBron was still better than Kawhi's best year ever. How y'all feel about that?
That's. All right, is Kawhi the best player in the league?
In the league? No.
No. All right. LeBron's the best player in the league, right? Yeah.
I don't
opinion.
Know that I would say that right now. I love Bron. Okay. If you go to my Twitter right now, Bron is the header. I live for Bron. But is he the best player in the league right now? I don't know.
Who you say, Steph or what?
I don't know, because I'm looking for somebody that can do it all, right? Bron's defense isn't there anymore, where Kawhi has all the defense, but I feel like Kawhi still has a little space to grow offensively, believe it or not.
Really?
I said it. He is an excellent player.
It's hard for me to say, because, I mean, he took my Sixers out with that wild shot.
That shot that was in there
over
forever.
Embiid as well. Oh, I'm God. Still not over that, just
yeah.
to let y'all know.
Embiid ain't easy. But, he's still crying somewhere.
Whoa, it's my man.
Hey, I'll cry too, shit. If right. I lost like that, that's, last yeah. second shot, I would cry for a long time.
Yeah, but that's something to think about. I honestly think LeBron is still the best player in the league. Mm-hmm. I don't have their numbers to really do an accurate comparison. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Kawhi put Toronto on his back and got him the chip.
Their first chip
ever, so... So, I got to say LeBron's still the best player in the league. Like, if I look at it like if you're building a franchise right
now.
Who
are you going to pick?
Who you going to pick first?
Who would you pick? You take Bron over Kawhi?
Yes.
At this point in his career? You're 17, he's 34. How you feel about that?
I would take Bron.
Okay.
I would take Bron.
I would also take Bron.
Yeah.
You can't pass up the facilitating that comes with Bron. So
I still think Jordan's the best to ever do it, though.
We're not going to get into that either. We do not have that kind of time. But, Tor, what do you think? How do you feel about this? You know those two players? You know what I'm talking about?
I know LeBron. I don't know the other player. So I was just sipping
your tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you sip that tea.
My mother watches this show.
I have tea. I even have the bag.
My mother watches this. This is tea mother, okay?
But so,
what's up, Mom? Shout out to Mom.
Shout out to Jules, man.
Yeah,
she just left
on Monday. Shout out to my mama for feeding us and washing all of our laundry. I would never, ever be able to repay you for that.
Literally never. Ever. ever.
She's the goat.
She really is. So, in closing, I think I gotta agree with Shannon Sharpe on this one. Bron is still a better player than Kawhi. I'm gonna go out on that limb.
Yes.
All right. So, my last Twitter topic for today. This is an interesting one because it ties into black women and how black women are often characterized in the media, on different social media platforms, and also how other folks are able to make money off of the black woman's character, whereas black women themselves aren't necessarily able to do the same thing. So what I'm saying, that think about Dormtainment, right? Think about all those fun YouTube videos, the vines, the kicks, all of that stuff that you see, right? And a lot of times it's a black guy
playing a
black woman, right? And making a caricature of black women versus like, oh, black women like us that are sitting here just kind of talking, because we are all of those things, not just that little piece that's represented.
Yeah.
So there was a Twitter account called Emo Black Thought that had been on Twitter for several years, had a pretty big following, and was pretending to be a queer black woman. This person raised a lot of money through crowdfunding and then came out recently and said that they are first of all, a man. So that's issue number one. And then I believe they're still a black man. Is that correct? Just a young gay black man, right? But the issue here is that, one, this person has defrauded people by going out and crowdfunding money under the guise of being a queer black woman that needs help, right? Needs assistance. And two, felt the need to create this Twitter persona, essentially a fake person catfishing the entire internet, right? As a queer black woman. So wanted to take a minute to talk about that and see what y'all think about that in the grand scheme of, like I said, black women being unable to make money off of their own characters while other folks are able to do that. Yes, girl. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah.
This is exactly what they thought it made me think of.
That was horrible. One, how, cause you know, nowadays is different, how people characterize themselves or how does he see himself as a black woman? I'm not familiar with the story.
So came out, did this whole build up, right? There was a tweet about a week ago that said, you know, reply to this tweet and let me know how this account has changed or impacted your life positively or negatively. You'll understand more soon. And so that was about a week ago. And then recently, within the last few days, this person came out and was like, all right. So keeping on with Twitter topics, I wanted to talk to y'all about something that has been unfolding over the last week or so. A user by the name of Emo Black Thought went through some interesting tweets recently. So on October 2nd or around there, about a week or so ago, this person put up a tweet and said, hey, let me know how this account has impacted you, whether it was negatively or positively. You'll understand more soon. So people commented, whatever. So then within the last few days, a paper magazine spread comes out, and Emo Black Thought is doing a reveal of themselves. And so come to find out, Emo Black Thought, who had been parading as a queer black woman, who apparently the account was originally ran by a queer black woman, but given to this person somehow, right? Is not a queer black woman at all. It is actually a young bisexual black man who was using the account to crowdfund, so raising money through this account, connecting with other black women around the world that were survivors of assault, survivors of different things, also sharing, you know, girls in chats share nudes, we do that. It is a thing, it's real. But so like in these group chats, in what are supposed to be safe spaces for black women, especially queer black women, and this person was not that at all. So I wanted to talk about that with y'all.
Infiltrating,
talk about that. So what do y'all think? How are y'all feeling about that? And it kind of ties into what we talked about a little bit earlier as far as black women not being able to capitalize the same way as people pretending to be black women are able to do.
Well, I mean, my thing, who do you hold accountable? Do you hold the person who started the account before they sold it and not, you know, saying like, look, I'm selling this account to a person, boom, I'm out? Or do you, hold the other person accountable more so?
I think it depends, because we don't know the conversation that the original owner of the account had with him before she gave it to him. You know, she could say, like, I want you to take this over and kind of keep the account going as if it was me. Like, if that was a conversation, then you can't really hold him accountable that way. But then later down the line, he's seen an opportunity, right, you know, to be like, okay, well, I'm not a queer Black woman, but I want to, you know, kind of prophesize off of this. And that's when the whole, like, reveal and type thing happened. That's kind of how I see it could have played out. Either way, I feel like he would have got more respect if he would have just kind of, like, when she gave it to him, just be like, you know, this is still taken over by someone in the community, but this is, you know, whatever. Like, they could have been done a lot differently so people wouldn't feel like, you know, taken advantage of, or just like, you were all in our business and you ain't one of us.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, do we know who runs these accounts?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really don't.
Do we know who's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, catfish is a term for a reason, right?
It's a real thing.
That's real.
I mean, I just see he took an opportunity and he definitely, like, maximized it. I can't, like, hate on him too much because it's just like, we don't know the conversation that was had behind the scenes. You know, we don't know if she said, like, you don't go out there and acting like you or me, like, do your own thing. Like, she could have said, continue growing this space because it's a safe space for women. I'm guessing so. He bought it from her.
See, that part is unclear as to how the transfer happened, right? And I think the approach that you're taking towards saying, well, we don't know what happened during the transfer. Like, and that's something you absolutely have to keep in mind. My major issues are, one, that there were several points along the way that he could have said, this is who I am, right? Instead of continuing to run it as this person. And then the other piece is the crowdfunding that happened, right? So you were able to secure those funds based on a lie.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's an issue because people do a lot of crowdfunding on Twitter or Tumblr or Facebook. You see it a lot. Not so much on Instagram. But you see it on these other platforms, and it's really because they need help. Like, there are young queer people that are being kicked out of their homes that need help with surgery costs.
Oh,
that
definitely, yeah.
They need actual money for these things, and not saying that he didn't need it, but he secured it under a false pretense, and people were thinking they were giving to one thing or one person, and it was somebody completely different.
Well, at the end of the day, anytime you acquire a IG account, it's for the following, and it's for the name. So, like I said, we don't have the definitive information to see how he got it. But, I mean, if he bought it, then he's definitely going to keep that going and, you know, join chats and do everything like he's her.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, so
the greatest Twitter catfish that ever existed, as far as I know. So, Tori, this reminds you of LaQuisha.
Yes, LaQuisha. Oh my God. So, if you guys have not heard about this movie that came out, it was like an independent film that came out.
Did it actually come out?
Yes, it came out in like earlier this year. Oh, yeah, July 12th. And it said looking like it was shot from an iPhone. Somebody dragging him on this article for sure. Like, I'll just read a little excerpt. So it says, the car wash trailer and premise sits at the intersection of several lazy comedic tropes. The title sounds like something from that old YouTube video where white kids parody ghetto Black names by listening the likes of Obamanique and Shanae. Furthermore, it looks like to revive the trend seen in the likes of Big Mama's House, White Chicks, and of course, Mrs. Doubtfire. Where for some reason, the only way for men to save themselves from a situation is to take on the identity of someone of another gender and or race. Most of these films derive comedy, lazy stereotypes about women. But, so yeah, so basically this white man, I think they're like in another country too. I don't even think they're...
No, I think it was here. I remember hearing the premise of it, white dude can get a job because of like, what was it? Affirmative action or something like that, so he had to pretend he was a Black chick. It's bullshit.
Like,
I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, it's bullshit.
Yeah,
we are the cool. Like, we make trends. They follow us.
They follow us.
But the biggest thing that pisses me off is like we don't get the type of money we need to get. You know what I'm saying? These white executives, these corporations are making billions upon billions off of the trends we set. You know what I mean? So I'm not surprised. I'm kind of like, I am surprised, that would come out in 2019,
right?
Versus like 95, 96. So what was that one movie, the white gangster from fucking
The Kid?
A lot of Malibu or some shit.
Oh, like, Malibu's one.
I feel like that shit should have came out around that time. For that to come out now, it's still kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's bullshit at the end of the day.
Yeah, but until now, we didn't mention this, but we should definitely shout out to Tyler Perry Studios for him opening his own studios on a plantation that was owned a long time ago by slave owners, but now it's owned by him. And shout out to Tyler. I mean, that was major in just like the entertainment community. Now he can set a platform for black actors and actresses to tell their story how they want to, and we don't have to be, you know, in these rooms where we don't really get a voice, you know?
Yeah, one of the things I loved about it was a lot of things I loved about it, but I loved how he named the studios after like Oprah, after like Spike, after like Denzel, our black icons. And I love that he has a section for, I believe it's like runaway kids or kids that are, you know, a different sexual identity and all that. So he has a training for them there. It's like a whole different section of it. I believe it's like 300 or maybe 3,000. I'm not sure on the acres, it's huge. And the unveiling was amazing. And I mean, he's been an inspiration for me off top. I mean, just to see, you know what I mean, a black man doing something like that, coming from sleeping in his car, coming from like that grind, that passion, and making that happen is like phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seeing everybody there supporting them, it's crazy. ATL all day.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But we can't look over how he got started too. What we were talking about, portraying yourself as a black woman. Okay. Like, I mean, that's just what it is.
It is.
You
can't
get over,
but yes, he definitely.
You
got to be honest about it. And here's the thing, because I have several issues with Tyler Perry's films. The way, not about him portraying himself as a black woman, that is an issue to itself.
Stereotypical.
The stereotypes, the braided wig they put on Shamar Moore. I have a lot of issues. Okay. I have issues with the fact that he had an educated woman with 2 degrees just randomly try cocaine or whatever drug and just lose her mind. I have issues with his films. However, you cannot overlook the opportunities that this studio is going to provide. You just can't. And I saw a tweet from Ava DuVernay who said that his studio, the acreage of it, is so massive. You could put Fox, WB, like all these other big studios inside it. It still has 60 acres left.
Man, like,
so it is a
insane.
Massive lot. It's a massive space, and it's a massive opportunity. So regardless of how you feel about him or his films, like I said, I have issues.
I want to
congratulate him.
No, I want to definitely agree with you on that. I mean, and even though he did name a studio after Spike Lee, Spike Lee had the same kind of issues early on. I had the same issues early on. I look at it as the entrepreneurial thing. I'm not, like, I really didn't watch his movies, but I like where he's at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like a, you know what I mean?
Agreed. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, all right, I don't have to agree with everything that you do, but when you're doing things for the community that are the greater good, outweighing the cons,
exactly.
I gotta go with that.
Yeah. And stop, like, you know, not necessarily looking at like his work and what he does, like his overall mission and goal is to uplift his people and us and stuff like that. It's like support, you know what I'm saying? We just support and show love. So shout out to Tyler for that. That was dope.
It was dope. It was very dope. All right, so we were like way over on live 5, but it was live. We was live. We out here. All right, so moving past the strong friend check-in for today because we just ran out of time. Let's get to the topic. Let's talk about our special guest, get him going. So today's topic is F the hustle, right? And we name everything with an F, so it's not like literally F your hustle, but
Yes.
No,
but
no,
it's
no.
Just like, it's just a title. You know, some kind of a thing here, you know what I'm saying? But the hustle is very important in the entrepreneur journey. Yes. You know what I'm saying? You got to have that kind of innate within you to make stuff happen.
Definitely.
And so we got the perfect guest in to talk about the hustle.
Yeah.
We
I mean, met look this guy. At the suit.
When we met this guy, let me just a little backstory, okay? I slid in his DMs. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Slid in his DMs. I'm like, what's up, bro? You got this pop-up shop. You know, we got this podcast. What's up? Like, he immediately jumped on the opportunity. He even made us like a little logo flyer for the event. Like,
yeah.
He didn't waste any times, and so when we met him, we just kind of got this vibe with him to know that he was, like, you know, really serious about being an entrepreneur and connecting with others, the networking that he does, and just talking and connecting different people in the community. So I was like, we gotta get him on the pod, gotta
appreciate
see
that.
Like,
yes.
You know, how he started,
yes.
And
yes.
You know, just everything that you've done up until this point, man.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
Yes, we appreciate you.
Yeah,
all that you're doing.
No doubt. But yeah, I mean, after she did slide, slid in the DMs, I just seen what these two sisters are doing, and it was like phenomenal. I'm like, look, you need anything, you may be new to San Diego or been here for a minute, I can plug you. And that's one of the things we got to do. We got to definitely share our resources.
Yeah, for sure.
We got to, uplift each other off top.
Absolutely. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how your entrepreneurial journey began.
All right, so again, from Philly, Nigerian.
Hey.
Yeah, so the grind was already
it was already
in the blood.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it started in, I forget what grade, grade school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Went to No, not Philly. Nah. They'll kick you. Yeah. They'll stand down. Like, you know what I mean?
Give it up.
Right. Yeah.
You're like,
nah. That was on TV.
Okay. That ain't real life. Okay.
Well, went to the corner store for like $2 lunch money. Bought all this candy. And came back with like 12 hours at like 11 and 10 or something like that.
Man.
You know what I mean?
You know what that reminds me of? When we were back in high school, or no, like middle school, and we had those, one of those little bag, sugar powder bags.
Oh my God.
It was like Kool-Aid and
yeah,
sugar.
Yeah.
We
went up for
those.
That.
But we
right.
Were upset.
Yes,
like,
dude,
yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
Some throwback stuff, but yeah.
And I'm going to age myself, too. Garbage Pail Kids, I know y'all youngins don't remember that, but,
not a clue.
Right. But, yeah, so, I mean, it was just selling and moving stuff at school. And then it evolved in, like, throwing house parties.
Hey.
So, you know what I mean? Just like I came here with a couple things from the car, the bar in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, basically I was a walking party.
Yes.
And it's kind of crazy when you... So, I have four kids.
Really?
And my daughter, she's 13. Shout out to Imani.
No, Shani.
Did the same thing. Like, she went to Smart and Final.
Yes.
Yeah. Bought $40 worth of candy. Set up an organization.
Wow.
Yeah.
Had
the school on smash.
But she,
crazy.
Like, seen that from you. She probably seen it or just, like, learned that from you. And your,
like,
yeah, for sure. Just kind of seeing how daddy get down.
Man,
like, you know.
Made it happen. It's in her blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the blood. It passed out. It's still in the bloodline. You know what I mean? Very nice. So with that start and knowing that, hey, it's in me, right? To
mm-hmm.
hustle and I do events, I do parties, all that. What have you spun this into? Like, tell us a little bit about 318 Media and about your adventures. Cause I know you do
okay.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. So still in the process of launching 318. It'll consist of a platform for podcasts, so hopefully I can steal y'all.
We would love to be stolen.
Be under the umbrella. So similarly, like if you look at Vox Media,
yeah.
iHeart, things of that nature, like a media platform for content. So
mm-hmm.
not just podcasts, original video content, and flirting with launching some type of publication, but it'd be something like it. That's where I came from. So I ran the Goods Magazine. for like 8 years. Oh, wow. So that was an online fashion, well, more so a lifestyle publication based out of San Diego. But actually, I had photographers from everywhere, Paris, Italy.
Wow.
Just submitting stuff. I had writers from around the world. So yeah, getting back to that, creating a platform, because I think with me, my background was music and poetry. Mm-hmm. So I remember like pre-technology days where you had to like go to the club and ask the DJ to play your music or something like that.
Yeah.
And all that. So now with my events and everything that I have going on, I like providing a podcast for up and coming artists, musicians, entrepreneurs like yourselves. So that's been my main thing. That's why I started the publication, to spotlight talented fashion designers, chefs, musicians from around the world. So
that's nice. Very nice.
So tell us a little bit more about your events. What do those look like?
So, as we said earlier, we got that 2K tournament, though.
2K.
Got to shout out that 2K tournament here in San Diego. I have a live music event that I'm going to be doing in downtown San Diego on a weekly thing. Speed dating, like I said, I love connecting people.
Yes, we love
so
that.
So I'm gonna have speed dating going on. I've done that a lot in the past as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really thinking and just been brainstorming on things that aren't in San Diego, because my whole goal is to fill a void.
Yes.
And I've done that, and that's what basically has made me successful. So just doing market research, what's happening like in Philly, home, Chicago, Miami, things like that.
St. Louis.
Right.
St.
Just
Louis
throwing
all
it
day.
Out there.
St. Louis.
Out there.
All day. All right.
But yeah, so, talking more about just the entrepreneurship of the hustle and kind of how you have to kind of stand apart from the regular 9-to-5. So when did you make that break of okay, I want to do this entrepreneurship?
I was like,
hustle.
Fuck this job.
Yes. Ever. What?
Well, you know what? It's going kind of laugh. It's like, all right, even when I worked a 9-to-5, it was still kind of like on my terms. Because I don't want to, people like me. So I build legitimate rapport, right? And I worked at this one job for 2 years, 2.5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I literally made my own schedule, even though I had to follow this schedule. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of I'm gonna show up, But I was told this in the executive meeting. They were like, so he just comes in when he wants. And he was
Right.
And then, just the clocking in and clocking out, I really didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get it wrong. On the flip side, if it was something that I was interested in, or something that I would intern in, or something I had a passion doing, then I'm grinding.
Then
I'm grinding off top. So, but the jobs that, just the 9-to-5s that I had, it was just meh.
Yeah. So how long ago was that you started doing your own thing?
3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you kind of fresh out here a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Because even with the jobs, I was still doing,
events and all that.
Yeah. So now it's just all right, let's fully get it.
So was it a conscious decision to okay, now my events and the things I'm doing outside of the 9-to-5 is making me as much as my full time, so now I can separate? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, of course. I have kids and everything, so it's
a very strategic kid. You got to
responsibilities. Can't just jump off the cliff.
So many times, especially because when you're doing things that you're supposed to be doing, stepping into your purpose. So yours sounds like events and organization and coordinating and connecting people. And when you do those, you'd be on fire.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that you don't feel in a job And so it's really easy to be like, oh, I'm just going to go over the cliff. Like, right, because right. I'm feeling it. It's mm-hmm. like, man, I'm really enjoying this.
Well, my business is people.
Yes.
At the end of the day. So I love meeting new people. I love engaging. I love hearing people's their history, mm-hmm. what they've been through, what brought them here. Because, you know, we're in the transplant city, like St. Louis, Philly, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I just love hearing, you know what I mean, people's stories. Especially, like, younger people who said, I just packed my shit and just drove out here. I'm like, that's dope as fuck.
That's what we do.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. So.
Shout out to God because he ain't let us down yet.
Right.
He holding it down.
Right.
You know,
holding
it down. Because
so,
when we moved out here, no, like, job lined up. We had an apartment. But we just had to pay for that 1 month. You know, mm-hmm. like, and everything worked
It's all
out
about taking a risk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're not happy. And that goes to a 9-to-5. You're not happy. You have the power to change the situation.
Absolutely.
If you work with a motherfucker that's just, like, complaining, like, oh, I hate this shit.
I hate this
shit. Or that super, well, negative motherfucker that's like, oh, I hate this shit. You can change that anytime.
Yeah.
Like, people get... like content with some shit, mm-hmm. and then you realize 20 years down the line, like, the time has passed, and mm-hmm. you've been unhappy for this long time. You haven't taken the vacations. You haven't seen where. You haven't been in the places you want to go. Like, create a bucket list. Let's,
like,
you know what I mean?
They limit themselves sometimes.
Yeah,
comfortable. It's like, it's like, I don't have those options. Like, I can't even.
Yes, you tell yourself
all that.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, man, I don't get that.
Because I don't
have
benefits. I mean, they're legit worries,
right?
But at the same time, you can still get benefits.
It's a mindset thing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's that mindset of, like, feeling like you're trapped and you can't go anywhere because you got these bills and you got these kids. And it's like, if I try to do that, then everything will fall apart. But if you want to take that risk, you're just like, okay, everything will fall into place like it's supposed to. You know what I'm saying? You trust that it will fall into place, you know? Not having, like, the pessimistic mindset, but, like, the optimistic mindset.
But it's not easy, though. One of my, biggest things, though, you got to be resilient. Mm. You know what I mean? You're not going to, honestly, you're not going to... you're going to get a lot of no's before yeses. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that spoiled me, though, with events, my first event in San Diego was the Barack Obama inauguration party when he first got...
No,
so really not... Like I said, coming from house parties.
Mm-hmm.
So you think your first thing would be, like, go downtown and hand out flyers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, during the weekend, right? So even... Go downtown San Diego during the weekend. Who are you going to see most of? This is a Republican city. So they were, my flyers, they were like, McCain. No, like, my flyers was flying. Like, my shit was not boomeranging, not coming back. My shit was
like,
it was like, yo, fuck out of here.
They're like, wait, what? I'm sorry, do you see me?
Right.
So, but... at the end of the day, it had like 300 people there.
Yes.
And made like 4 at the door. I was like, oh shit.
Okay.
That's crazy.
So you
packed house. Had Jeezy, lit. My president is black, on repeat.
Was that not
that
your favorite
shit,
song?
Yo,
that's the anthem.
Yo,
that is our
black song
this
like,
week.
President is black.
Yeah, so I was like, ooh, shit.
My Lambo is blue and I'll be god damn if my rims ain't too. Okay, right. Like, oh, what a banger.
Yeah.
For the one
time.
I just, man.
Shout out to my guys, though, my partners at the time. Kev, Charles, Keith. Yeah, we did.
Man.
You know what I mean? Talk like about making a mark. That's ultimately what I want to do. I want to make a mark, leave a legacy, and you know, have my grandkids, grandkids.
Oh, say that.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Generational wealth.
That's what it is.
Very nice.
So I just want to ask you another question. What does financial peace mean to you? Because I know that kind of comes with entrepreneurship. People think they get their freedom, they get their financial peace. Like, what does that exactly mean to you?
Well, I'm not there, but...
Thank you. Ready for your honesty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. This is a conversation with us. I mean, what I would think it would mean is definitely less stress, being able to, you know, pick people in a better position, being able to donate, being able to give back. And I mean, ultimately, we don't want to worry about bills. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We want to have multiple homes in multiple places. We want to explore the world. We want to live like, you know, like you don't have any worries or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I look at it, if you, it's deep, right? So I look at it on an aspect, like I grew up in Philly. Every time I go home, you know what I mean? I go home, go to my mom's crib, spend time with fam and all that.
Right.
But every city I go to, I want to see like the millionaire, billionaire side of the city.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I look at it even, right. So I want to see my city that way. You know what I mean? I want to see San Diego that way. Yes. You know, I know people with bread, but like I want to, as you know what I mean? So yeah, so that's what I strive for. That's what I work for.
Yeah,
what about my mama house?
There you go. Hey, that's your mama house.
That's the first thing.
For real,
I love that one.
That is so serious. So, in trying to reach those goals, right, buy a mama house, making your city and your community look like the dream, right? What are the three necessary skills that you feel like, okay, I got these. This is what I built all of my stuff on. This is what you can build on as an entrepreneur.
Well, like I said, I definitely touched on being resilient. Because you got to get back up. And I love just having Philly references all day. So if you, I'm from the city where they film Rocky at. You know what I'm saying? So you get,
shout out to
Rocky. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? Like, classic. You got to, you get hit, knocked down, you got to get the fuck back up.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can't stay down. And I said earlier, I'm a people's person. Networking is key. Knowing the right people for the right things at the right time is definitely key. And I would probably say the third thing would be time management. And I'm working on myself with that. You know what I'm saying?
That's real. That's
I'm definitely working on myself with that. So time management is key. Like, and really, like, you know, the whole team no sleep type of thing. I mean, you gotta. I mean, you gotta grind. Whatever your passion is, you gotta go for it.
Gotta grind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not promoting like no sleep, but I mean, you're really not gonna sleep if you.
Thank you for saying that, though.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Thank you for
saying, because a lot of older folks, and not saying that you're old, but a lot of people in different generations.
Right? Look,
I had to put my hand out. Like, not saying that. I'm talking about you.
Right. Yes. I said that garbage from the show.
You know, you're not
old,
you're seasoned.
Wise. That's what I tell older people. I say wise.
But a lot of wise folks want to tell you that don't sleep. Like, it's team no sleep. If you want to,
sleep when you're dead.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Nas, though. Sleep is the cousin of death at that time.
At that time. But you see, telling people not to sleep cost Steve Harvey a show, so watch what you say. Okay? Like, it's one of those
Steve's
things.
Steve's still good, though.
He's gonna be all right.
He's got his money. Like, if he doesn't do another show, he'll be fine.
But, I mean, look, people who we admire, like, homeless, slept in cars, did what they had to do.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, like I said, they slept. So they slept in cars. So they got sleep. Not a lot, but
they got sleep. But you know, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I understand that. But you know, I can understand both. You know, sleeping is important. You know, we need sleep to function, to be able to use our brain the most productive way, to be able to get these goals and grind, do all that.
Yes.
But we have to kind of like really kind of scale back and just saying like, what's important? Like, how bad do you want it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the whole passion aspect. One thing I definitely want to shout out, talking to a therapist as well.
Just with
everything, because it's such a roller coaster. You know what I mean? So you definitely need to talk to a therapist. If you do work, or, you know, I mean, you do have a 9-to-5, usually companies offer something called EAP.
Yes, they do.
And they, like, front you 6 sessions, so free, you know what I mean? But, yeah, definitely look at that, or research your resources. I mean, go to Google and see if you're going through something something super traumatic or like whatever. I mean, I don't even mean to sway the conversation, but you know what I mean? Being an entrepreneur is a roller coaster.
So you're saying like, your ups and downs. Taking care of your mental health isn't
it's major. Yeah. And yeah. I love like how prevalent, how upfront it is right
now. Yeah, right now.
I want to shout out Charlamagne.
Charlamagne the guy.
I want to shout out Charlamagne because like, I listened to The Breakfast Club religiously. Mm-hmm. And honestly, he was the first one to me that sparked the whole mental health movement. Made it like real.
Yeah.
Because you know, growing up, like, yo, we gotta be tough, white men. We gotta be tough, like, swallow that shit.
Pray, go to church, talk to your pastor.
Well, not only that, then look on the gangster side. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to church, you know what I mean? Swallow niggas, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, be tough. Mm-hmm. Don't even, no crying and like, no showing emotion or anything like that. So, definitely, I'm looking for a therapist. So, if you guys are watching this, you know what I mean?
Hey,
thank you for
your experience. Oh, yeah, of course. Actually, I can definitely help you guys out with that.
Therapy has been wonderful. Yeah. I have been personally, mm-hmm. as an individual and as a couple, and it's awesome because it's one of those things where, like, therapy is essentially somebody helping you answer your own questions, mm-hmm. but they're helping you figure out what questions to ask, mm-hmm. right? They're asking you the right questions that you're like, oh, I didn't think about it that way, or I hadn't talked about that because I didn't think that was the issue. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we're like, okay, it's just this one thing that's bothering us, and your therapist is like, but is it really that thing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is it really that, or is it something else? And so that it's really helpful in just helping you understand yourself, helping you understand how you relate and communicate with mm-hmm. others, because that's the other thing too. Like, a lot of us move through the world assuming that people think the same way that we do, or that a lot of things are understood views, and it's not.
It really isn't.
Yeah, everybody's
well,
different.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But like, one of the terms that in sales that I was taught is really peeling back the onion. Like, mm-hmm. why are you saying no to this mm-hmm. product? So really, you know what I mean, getting to the root of it. And I think at the end of the day, you know what I mean? You may struggle with some shit that happened to you at 10 or 11, but you don't know, or that may sway what you're doing or how you're living your life. So, I feel like that's important.
Yeah, that's so real.
Yeah. That's very real.
Thank you for talking about that. Both of those, the sleep and the therapy.
Right.
Somehow I feel like they're related. Yes.
Okay, so, well, wrapping up.
So soon?
We just want to give one final question of you.
More questions?
One final question.
And then we have something fun for you.
Okay. So, Omar, you've been an entrepreneur. You know, you paving the way for you and your legacy and everyone that's coming behind you. What is your impact you want to make on the world?
Okay. I love that. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, and I think I said it earlier, I definitely want to give back. I would want, like, a foundation, like a huge building.
Yes.
Foundation with my name on it, honestly. To help out multiple things, multiple problems. I would say more so poverty-driven, broken home-driven. I grew up without a father, so things like that would be big brother programs or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Same thing, mentors and things like that for our young black males. I think that's really important because mm-hmm. I mean, I would say, just growing up without a father, it was just really hip hop raising, you know what I mean, at the end of the day.
That's real.
So,
that's real.
So, shout out to Pop, shout out to
there's your
daddy,
you
know what I mean? Your daddy growing up. Yeah, when I would say that, we peers, all that. Just to get you through, just to get you through certain
people
shit.
Don't realize how monumental music is mm-hmm. to people's like psyche and just kind of like, you know, emotional, development, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? We use that in replace of things that we don't have.
So. Right.
And in place of words that you can't say, mm-hmm. right? Or that you don't know how to say. Like, music helps, at least for me, like it expresses things that I don't have the words for, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so maybe I listen to this song and I scream along with Khalees, I hate you so much right now, right? Because that's how I feel it. And I didn't have the words to say. I didn't want to tell that person I hate them, but Khalees said it's okay.
So. All right, so this is the reverse part, though. They're not even ready for it.
Oh, shit.
Reversing some shit.
Here we go.
So, What's the two questions that you like there? It's like the best question. So why are you guys entrepreneurs? Let me start off with that.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, you're like a flip, yeah, flip, exactly. Flip it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Would you like to get it?
Chris, take it away.
Sick of your shit. All right. So I am an entrepreneur. I'm going to start with the impact because mine is really similar to yours.
Okay.
And with the Black entrepreneurs, I really would love to host a conference that maybe starts here in San Diego, but eventually goes nationwide. Something similar to Black Enterprise or some of the other conferences that you see out here. But I want to be able to have all of our community come together and showcase our skills, right? Mm-hmm. I've got friends that are in higher ed that do great presentations on diversity and inclusion. I know folks that are in tech that can build you an app. I know people that are in events that can teach you how to make money off of relatable, relevant events, not just doing random ones because that's what you like to do.
Right.
You know, so I want to see that. And I want to see a Black pitch competition that doesn't cost $600 to go to this conference because there are tech conferences that are like Afrotech and things like that, but they are insanely expensive.
Yeah.
So I want to create things like conferences for our community that not only are for young up-and-coming entrepreneurs, but also for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to have a family-friendly conference where we're teaching the kids how to take care of this stuff, not just the finance stuff that you learned in driver's ed as the one-off that you never use. Like, I've never actually balanced a checkbook. Don't talk that. Shut up. So, like, you know, that type of stuff, that's where I want to do. And I also, going back to being in college, I was in Black student government. And we actually were an umbrella. University of Missouri. Shout out Mizzou. It's actually homecoming weekend too. I'm so sad I'm not there, but the flight's expensive.
I had to get the shout out.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out to Mizzou, FKU till I die. All right. But when I was at Mizzou, I was over Black student government, and we were an umbrella organization. So all of MPHC, so all your Black Greeks, Black Business Students Association, National Association of Black Journalists, African Students Association, all of those were all under one big umbrella. And I would love to organize something like that here in San Diego because a lot of us have similar goals.
Mm-hmm.
We're going about it in different routes, which is fine. You know, it gives you variety as a consumer. But I would love to see us all organized, right? We've got a Black woman running for mayor right now.
Which is so epic.
If Black San Diego Black Professionals, 318 Media, YBNB, Black Entrepreneurs, all of the different groups, Express, all of these different folks got together and we organized support. Do you know how monumental that would be?
And pushed her forward.
Do you know how crazy that would be? So that's what I'm about, is that connecting people and connecting resources. That's the impact I want to leave. It's like, oh, you need something? Hey, Kristen knows that person. Or hey, Kristen will help you get you in front of an investor to do that pitch. Whatever it may be. Like, I am a connector. And that's why I'm an entrepreneur.
Well, great to come after that now. Man,
should've
been
first. Best shit in the world.
Very, very well said, Chris. You know, and that's why I joined forces with you to be a part of this movement, because it is very important. But my whole stance is like, I want to do something different that I didn't get in my family growing up. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be that May Waker, that path paver for my family and my legacy. And then I want to do it in a self-expression kind of way. You know, I don't want to do the corporate or things that tell you, okay, start this business, do that. No, I want to do it in a self-expression, show people you actually can do your own skills, the gifts that God gave you. You can do that to start a business for yourself. And you can just trust and believe in the process that it was meant for you to do this. So I'm more of just showing people, like, you have a purpose and you have a gift, and it doesn't always look in the box that they show you when we, you know, we're growing up. Okay, like, go to school, go to college, get a job, and do the job till you're 40. Like, that's not the narrative now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't think it's a narrative. Well, of course, it is the narrative, but I mean, you got YouTube University right now.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, their narrative is totally changing now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you can get into that space all kind of different ways.
And I think what Tori's trying to kind of touch on too, you from the East Coast, y'all are by nature a bit more entrepreneurial, right? Mm-hmm. It's a grind, go and get it.
Yeah, from
the Midwest, like smack in the middle of the country. Mm-hmm. And the mindset there is exactly what Tori's talking about. You go and get a job. Right, you may be able to have 2.5 kids, right? So two kids and a dog or some pet. You get one spouse. Mm-hmm. And once you make those decisions, you are locked
in. You're locked in. Like, there's no changing.
Still today, the mindset in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. A lot of our high school classmates are married to each other.
Yeah.
Which is disgusting.
It's like incest. Well, it's almost like incest. People, you know, you got the high school, a sweetheart, all that stuff. But it's like they never left.
They didn't leave.
They never left the hometown.
No other perspectives, right, are coming in. And so they're ascribing to that. They're saying, okay, yeah, I am going to get this one spouse. I'm going to get this one job. I'm going to have these 2.5 kids and a dog. Like, I'll give you an example. And Tori, I don't know what it was like for you. When Camille and I were getting ready to move from Ohio out here, I had a really good job, especially for somebody that was like 21, 22, I don't know how old it was, but really well-paying job with Nabisco, right? Yeah. Name recognition. Oh my God, can you bring me some Oreos?
You said fuck that snow though, right?
People all the time, why did you move out here? Because it doesn't snow.
Right.
And they're like, no, but seriously, I said what I said.
Period.
It doesn't snow. But when I got ready to move out here and I told my family I was leaving my job, you would have thought I told them I killed somebody. Right? Like, it was, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. They're paying you so much. You got all these great benefits and you work for Nabisco. Like, what about the Oreos? What about my fucking happiness? You know what I mean? Like, but about the Oreos? And we had Swedish fish at the time. Upset about the Swedish fish. You hear me? They was like, so you quit your job, so you're not gonna have any money and no Swedish fish? We don't know you. We don't know you. But seriously, it was a lot of pushback on why are you trying to do something that makes you happy?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't how they were looking at it. They were looking at it like, dude, you found your one job. Why are you trying to do something else?
Yeah. So it's just like, right. That's crazy. Like you said, Chris, like the mindset of how we're brought up, it's like I want to be that different shift in the mindset and show my brother, and shout out to my brothers in jail right now, but shout out to Adam, my sister Sarah, my sister Ashley, like all my family who feel like this is just not even a possibility. Yeah. Even for me moving to California, it was just like, whoa, you're to California?
I was destined though.
You know what I'm saying?
I was
exactly. It was meant to be. Yeah. Like how it all worked out, like we packed up our car and just like, Chris, you got a room for us. And we just kind of moved out here. So it's all meant to be, and it's all like trusting your intuition, trusting God, trusting the universe that your purpose is meant for something greater and bigger than the little picture.
You know what? Well, it was crazy, right? Ever since I was young and infatuated with like Hollywood and things that, you know what I mean, things that went like young, like 8, 7, I said, I'm definitely going to be in Cali. And joined the Navy, so that's what brought me out here.
Okay.
Military veteran. And when you graduate your school, A school, whatever, after boot camp, you get billets. So they basically tell you where you're going. Mm. And I had a choice between Cali and Japan. Don't get me wrong. I'm still like, international. Oh, right. You know what I'm saying? So definitely. But, I mean, I just knew I was going to be in Cali.
Yes, me too.
The stars just aligned.
Perfectly. I think about 2 years before I actually made the move out here, I had started talking to y'all about it, talking to my friends, and saying, like, y'all, I really want to move out to California. And I had a cousin out here in the Marines, and my mom, my sister, and I came out for his wedding. That was an interesting event. But so we came out for the wedding, and...
We'll chat offline.
But I didn't want to leave. I remember standing over in Petco Park. They had just built it, I think, or just opened it. And I got a picture standing on the steps like, I love this place. And I was like, okay, I'm going to move out here. Yep. So I started telling my friends. I was doing affirmations before I knew what they were. Saying SD 2013 on stuff. And I had my background in San Diego. But we didn't move out here until 2015. But it was because a lot of other things needed to happen first. I needed to land that job with Nabisco so I would move to Ohio to meet her. So we'd grab all our stuff and move out together. Her best friend moved in with us. So that way we had a roommate to split rent three ways to help us out. Like a lot of things need to happen.
Yeah, it's right.
Very
expensive.
Yes. Sometimes you're making decisions to be
right. That's really what it is. The sun to pay for the weather out
but
here.
But speaking of the sun and the perspective thing, a friend of ours actually said to me once, like verbatim said this, because I was talking to her about, you know, there's so many opportunities and I'm trying to get them to see that, but they're still at home. And she said, you know, the sun shines differently there. than it does.
She said, yeah, she said we came home when we went home earlier this year. We had like a glow on us. And then they're coming home, they have like this cloud over them.
So look, I had a long time friend here, and he would say, every Philly movie, bro, it's overcast. You would just bust my balls. You grew up out here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And yeah, I was like, motherfucker, you right.
Now you go home. Home is where your family is, and this, you got a lot of love for it, but this is home. You know what I mean? Like, this is where the opportunity is at. So I'm thankful to be out here every day. Sometimes it is genuinely making a decision to be broke. Okay, so you can chase your dreams.
A conscious decision.
Sometimes that's the decision, but you know that there are so many opportunities that is impermanent. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna be broke forever because you got all these things coming your way, all these opportunities to make money.
Yes,
money.
I would definitely end it with just do your research, whatever. You know what I mean? Business market.
Whatever you want to do. Be well educated. Be the smartest person in the room on your research, on your field. All right, what we got?
All right, so the best part, a new thing we're doing here on the FM podcast. We're going to end it with
Hurricane season.
FM podcast.
We should focus on this, but it would be slow.
Shout out to Jersey Banks. Golden Girls shot glasses right here. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the
Golden Girls. Oh, word. Shout out to the Golden Girls.
Would you give Omar? Are you getting a
joint? I think I need Blanche, though.
I knew you were going to ask for Blanche. That's why I was like, I brought
Omar. Oh, no, this is you. This is you.
That's okay. Omar's definitely a Blanche.
Yes,
this is you. Sorry about that. Okay.
Call me a hoe? No.
Ooh. Okay. Speaking like it's... Who requested the glass?
I know. I like Blanche, though. Blanche was my favorite.
She was
not a grandma.
Oh, so that's Sophia. Sophia
Petrillo.
What's that, Sicilian?
Sicily. She's Sicilian.
Yeah, I need a grandma.
I want
the
grandma.
Yeah.
Tori,
I'll be
Blanche.
I got Rose.
Big Daddy.
I love it.
All right, so we ended. We're going to end our episode with a shot to success.
Yes.
If you wanted to shout out anything specifically, you can do that as well.
Wonderful. Thank you, my dear.
Just to end off and get vibes, today we have Wine Day provided by yours truly. Thank you so much.
Okay.
318 will definitely provide alcohol for your future.
For your events.
Thank you.
There you go.
All right. So we're signing out. Shot to success.
Yes. Awesome. Omar, thank you for being here. Appreciate you. And let's just cheers to all of the success from now, past, and present. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Cheers.
Cheers. It's wine, so yeah.
I can't believe a wine shot tastes like that, though.
I was like, yeah, right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right there. Awesome. All right. So I'm Soulful T.
I'm King Chris. And this has been Effem.
Fuck him.
And we're going to sign off before we get there.